WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
This is Fresh Air. Coming up, writer A.C. Green tells us what it's like to get a new heart and a second chance at life. But first, the late Jack Kerouac was one of the most controversial figures in American literature during the 1950s. He wrote poetry and the novels On the Road, The Subterraneans, and The Dharma Bums. Kerouac has been called the father of the Beat Generation. Fans and appreciative critics said he spoke for a generation. His detractors claimed his rambling prose was undisciplined blather. Kerouac's recordings have just been reissued in a new collection. Jazz critic Kevin Whitehead has a review.
The Last Hotel. I can see the blank wall. I can see the silhouette in the window. He's talking. I'm not interested in what he's talking about. I'm only interested in the fact that it's the last hotel.
In San Francisco around 1957, a new fad was born, the jazz and poetry movement. It was destined to become one of the prime cliches of beatnik culture. You know, a guy with shades and a beret reciting lines like, "A black cat walks across a white sheet," while some wigged-out combo blows cool music in the background. It wasn't new in the sense that no one had done anything like it before, but the late 50s was when it became a trend. Before long, it had spread to New York, where Jack Kerouac recited his beat prose at the Village Vanguard, backed by television's resident hipster, Steve Allen. Soon after, Kerouac, like a few other beats, began making records with jazz accompaniment. On the first of them, Poetry for the Beat Generation, Steve Allen makes nice on the ivories.
Hummingbird hums hello, bugs race and swoop. Two ants hurry to catch up with Lonely Joe. The tree above me is like a woman's thigh. Smooth eucalyptus bumps and muscle swells. I would I were a weed a week would leave.
Jack Kerouac made three albums in 1958 and 9. He read solo on one. On another, called Blues and Haikus, he was backed by saxophonists Al Cohn and Zoot Sims.
Beautiful young girls running up the library steps with shorts on. Crossing the football field, coming home from work, the lonely businessman.
All three Kerouac albums, plus outtakes from Blues and Haikus and part of an appearance on a Steve Allen TV show, are in a new boxed set from Rhino Records called the Jack Kerouac Collection. It's a very nice package, with a 32-page booklet containing lots of photographs and long and short essays by friends like William Burroughs and Allen Ginsberg. Kerouac fans have been salivating since this set's release was announced months ago. Here's some of Jack Kerouac's October and the Railroad Earth.
There was a little alley in San Francisco, back of the Southern Pacific Station at 3rd and Townsend, in red brick of drowsy, lazy afternoons with everybody at work and offices. In the air, you feel the impending rush of their commuter frenzy. As soon they'll be charging en masse from Market and Sansom buildings on foot and in buses and all well-dressed through working man Frisco of walk-up truck drivers. And even the poor grime bemarked 3rd Street of lost bums, even Negroes, so hopeless and long left east, and meanings of responsibility and try, that now all they do is stand there spitting in the broken glass, sometimes 50 in one afternoon against one wall at 3rd and Howard. Here's all these Milbrae and San Carlos, neat necktied producers and commuters of America and steel civilization, rushing by with San Francisco Chronicles and green call bulletins, not even enough time to be disdainful.
Kerouac's claim to fame has also been his curse. As the so-called father of the beats, He was so widely imitated that much of his own stuff seems like a parody. His disdain for necktied office workers was stereotypically beatnik, dumping on Mr. Button-down 9-to-5 middle class. Kerouac was a jazz lover and saw a close relationship between jazz improvising and his own spontaneous prose. He'd type out his stuff at high speed on long rolls of paper, and he'd write variations on finished pieces, generating new ideas from old themes the way jazz musicians do. Still, some jazz folk weren't convinced he knew as much about the music as he thought he did.
Now the tune they were playing was All the Things You Are. They slowed it down and dragged behind it a half-tempo dinosaur proportions, changed the placing of the note in the middle of the harmony to an outer, more precarious position, where also its sense of not belonging was enhanced by the general atonality produced with everyone exteriorizing the tune's harmony. The clonk of the millennial piano like anvils in Petrograd.
As biographer Gerald Nicosia has pointed out, Kerouac's pronunciation of the word Petrograd is a sign he's putting us on. That pseudo-profound gibberish is certainly funny, but you still may not be sure if you're laughing with him or at him. I confess I'm not crazy about Kerouac myself. His writing doesn't grab me, though there is something compelling about his voice, despite his overheated delivery. As a craze, jazz and poetry didn't last too long. But in New York, at least, poets and improvisers still perform together on occasion. And every once in a while, the hybrid still turns up on record. The last good jazz and poetry album I heard was a 1981 session by the late Brian Gyson with the Steve Lacy Sextet.
Kick that habit, man. That habit kick, man. Habit, man, kick that. Man, kick that. Kick that man habit. That man habit kick. Habit kick, man. Man habit that kick. Kick
now that's beat. It's got Jack Kerouac's fingerprints all over it.
Kevin Whitehead reviewed the Jack Kerouac collection on Rhino Records. This is Fresh Air.